everyone, I'm your host Michelle Waters. Today my guest is instructional design and illustration entrepreneur Erica Nash. I'm super excited to hear her story about how she blended a traditional skill and a teacher skill into her own business.
Are you ready to take control of your life? Then you've come to the right place. The Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast is here to help entrepreneurs like you start, grow, and scale the online business you love. Join host Michelle Waters as she shares her journey from the classroom to the freedom of being her own boss. She'll interview inspiring entrepreneurs and share tips and insights along the way. All right, without any further ado, let's get this show started.
Over the past two decades, I've met and worked with dozens of successful entrepreneurs who have a heart for serving people just like you. I'm excited to gather them together this June for the virtual Be Your Own Boss Summit for Educators. Join us for the online business expertise, resources, and community you need to start, grow, and scale your business. Sign up so you don't miss out at rethinkyourlifestyle.com/BYOB. Welcome back to RethinkYourLifestyle.com and our podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Waters, and I have with me today Erica Nash of EricaNashDesign.com. She's an instructional designer, illustrator, and entrepreneur, and I am so glad to have you with me.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I saw you on, I think it was in one of our Facebook groups. Was it the podcasting group that we're
in?
Yeah, I'm in lots of different spaces right now. There's podcasting, there's internet marketing, there's teachers transitioning. And so kind of trying to figure out where we made that connection. But I saw your website and I saw what you do. And I thought, wow, this is somebody who had really helped the teachers that are transitioning out of the classroom and into that small business entrepreneurial space. So if you could kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got started.
Yeah, well, like you said, I'm an instructional designer, illustrator, and just sort of general entrepreneur. I feel like I'm in lots of spaces, kind of like you are. And really, my goal is to help coaches and course creators make better courses. You know, a lot of them come from an entrepreneurial background, not necessarily an educational background. And, you know, selling something is very different than teaching something. And so I've just kind of made it my goal to help them create better courses. And, you know, the course space in general is very big and very broad. And we're kind of seeing this landscape change. And so my goal is to help entrepreneurs, course creators make better courses for the consumers that are putting so much time and effort and energy and really hopes and dreams into it so that they can come out more successful on the other side. I was a teacher for 10 years and I have experience in lots of different areas, K-12. We talked about this a little bit, but yes. The majority of my experience is in high school teaching culinary arts. And it was so fun. I loved it. I loved the kids. I loved teaching. I loved what I was doing. But after 10 years, it was time for something different.
Yep. I hear you there. It sounds like you and I talked about before, and if you could kind of share some of that, just so we can get an idea of how varied your experience was as a teacher, because I think that's also important to being an entrepreneur.
For sure. Yeah. My experience is kind of all over the board. I started as a K-12 art and computer teacher. I taught art half a day and computers half a day. And then after that year, I've done something different every year in my entire career. So after that year, they moved me into fifth grade. I had a self-contained classroom and I taught, you know, all subjects. And then they moved me to fifth and sixth where I taught writing. And then I taught fifth and sixth ELA. And then from there, I was still doing the fifth and sixth ELA, but it was only half a day. And for 2 years, I did the half day at the elementary, half day at the high school teaching culinary arts. And then they granted me the amazing opportunity to create my own family and consumer sciences program at the high school that was for a full day. And so I was able to create it from scratch, and I taught culinary arts, housing and interior design, and child development. And it was incredibly rewarding. It was a lot of work. And that was all with the same district for 9 years. And then I moved states. So obviously I moved districts, and they hired me to build them a culinary institute program. And then that's when I decided it was time for something else.
Yep, I hear you. One thing I'm curious about is it sounds like you really were into, you know, like you said, culinary arts. What led you to becoming an instructional designer and illustrator instead of something in the other area?
Oh yeah, it's so wide and varied. And so when you're doing those studies, it's really like you are qualified for so, so many things, because they're teaching you all sorts of things. And so my entire life, I was interested in, you know, drawing and designing and different things like that. So I've been drawing, you know, since I could hold a pencil. So that really was just like, I'd always wanted to do something with that. That's what I loved. And honestly, as a kid, I didn't think that was ever going to be possible, because you hear all of the, you know, sort of starving artist kind of things. But the world is just a little different now. We just were able to do different things. And so I knew I wanted to incorporate that. And I still love teaching. I just didn't want to be in the public school classroom. And so I always felt like I was really, really good at the planning part, at the strategy part, which was why I was constantly building the curriculum for these new classes and programs. You know, I was in a small district and didn't have access to any, you know, curriculum teams or anything like that. And so I was doing it all myself. And so that was where I found that I would really get lost in my work, because I was just enjoying it. I loved it so much. And so as I was nearing the end of my time in the classroom, you know, I was thinking to myself, well, how can I take these skills that I have and use them in another way that's going to benefit other people? Because I know that there's more, like, this is not just meant for the public school classroom. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it was just a sort of natural next step. Honestly,
for me, and it sounds like for you as well, it was easy to make that leap from teacher to entrepreneur. With me, I had been an online business owner prior to my teaching career. So it's just kind of not really a step backwards for me, but a step into something that is still familiar. Mm-hmm. But I know that a lot of teachers are kind of wrapped up in that identity as a teacher, and they struggle to see how their skills transfer. Could you kind of talk mm-hmm. to us about that, and to those teachers who are listening and thinking, so how do I get out of the classroom and do something else in entrepreneurial?
Yeah, I mean, the identity. And to be honest, I really struggled with the identity piece. I think that was really what was keeping me there. And, you know, I think sort of the fluffy answer would be that the kids were keeping me there. And no doubt I loved them, and they were the reason that I stayed as long as I did. But at a deeper level, the identity was, I didn't know who I was if I wasn't in the classroom. I didn't know who I was if I wasn't teaching kids and pouring into kids. And when I was making the decision to leave, I cried so much. It was really bad, and it was really scary. And I remember telling my husband, like, maybe this is the wrong choice. Like, maybe I need to stay. And all I could keep thinking was like, well, you know, what if this student needs me, or what if that student needs me, or whatever. And so that was really difficult to like remove myself from. But then it was also, you know, what if I find that I actually can't do anything else? What if I find out that I really am only good in a high school classroom? And that was really, really scary for me. And so one of the things that I had to do, honestly, was just like sit with it. I had to sit with it. I had to like let it get a little bit ugly. And then I had to decide, okay, like, who am I? And for me, that took really diving into my faith. That looks like, you know, allowing my family to speak life into me and to remind me who I was away from my job. We're so wrapped up in our jobs and in our identities that it really becomes destructive. And that was what I was seeing. So when I was able to kind of take a step away and almost remove myself, like remove the emotion from it, then it became a little more obvious that I had other things to offer. And so, you know, sometimes it just takes allowing yourself to feel it.
Yeah.
And then working through it that way.
Absolutely. You know, get past or work your way through, not get past, but work your way through those emotions and then take not necessarily an objective look at what you have to offer, but maybe a different perspective, you know, because I'm sitting as I'm listening to you talk and, you know, you're talking about culinary arts and you talk about teaching writing, which I've taught writing 6th through 11th grade. And I'm thinking, you know, if I can convince teenagers and preteens to write on a daily basis, I think I could probably figure out a way to speak to and serve and work with grownups as well. I mean, yes, it's going to take a mental or a paradigm shift, but I've made those shifts sometimes, you know, multiple times a day to try to convince a teenager to do something that they need to do. So why can't I?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, if we can convince teenagers to do something that they don't want to do, we can do anything.
Absolutely. We can move those mountains because we've had them sitting in our classrooms. So that's kind of something else that I'm hearing you say is that the skills that you have in the classroom, like you were creating entire courses, entire programs for a school, that's a transferable skill, right?
Absolutely. And I, you know, my degree is in family and consumer sciences. And so I was an alternative certification for teaching. So I didn't really have any formal training in education or curriculum design. My mom was a teacher. My husband's a teacher. They both went through the traditional routes. And I remember, you know, as a kid, I was always going with my mom to her classroom. You know, we had different schedules. And so I would go on my spring break and she taught preschool and I would go in there with her and just, you know, help her throughout her day. And I loved the classroom. And I didn't really want to be a teacher until I knew that I needed to be a teacher. Right. And it was just that calling, you know. And so I am of the frame of mind that anybody can learn anything. And so in all of that, you know, I didn't have access to anybody that would help me design programs. I didn't necessarily have the educational background, but I did have the internet and I had books. And I did have colleagues, you know, that would help me with ideas. And my mom and my husband were great with that as well. And then truly, I needed to learn to like trust myself, like that I knew what I was doing. And so, you know, it really was just, okay, we're just going to jump in and we're just going
to
do it.
And I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, some teachers trying to step into that space struggle is, I think it's with perfectionism and thinking whether or not they're good enough. I'm not good enough to do this, or I started doing this, but it's not good enough. And so I'm going to not do it, or I'm going to stop here. When actually you just need to take that action and then evaluate, assess, revise. These are all things we do as teachers on a daily basis. Cycle through that as a business owner. So, you know, like I've been creating a course. So I create a course, I put it out there, I get some people to go through it. They tell me, hey, these are some things that, you know, you need to change. And I make those changes, or I, you know, other kinds of feedback that I get. And then I just keep, you know, reiterating what I've created until it arrives at what I want it to be, which may be different than what I originally envisioned. So, you know, we're talking about how you were doing something different every year in your business. You can kind of find yourself doing a lot of different things. So, you know, you might start out providing a service and then maybe move into teaching your customers how to do what it is that you used to charge them to do yourself, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have found that you know, when I started, I think I came into it with this very firm idea in mind, and that was not the way to go about it, you know, and so I've definitely had to become a little bit more flexible, which, you know, as teachers, we have to be flexible. And so I have had to wear that teacher hat a little bit, not necessarily the teaching aspect, but all of the other things that come with the job, because I fully believe that, like, being a teacher and all of my experiences in the classroom and sort of leading up to where I am now has prepared me to be an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. Teaching for 10 years like you and I have is definitely preparation for being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk to us a little bit about some of the lessons, some of the most important lessons that you learned in making this transition?
Oh man, there have been so many. And I think one of the things that I have really had to recognize is that I cannot do everything.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of times that's just kind of how we are. Like in the classroom, we have to be responsible for it all. And so that's just kind of how we do things, and it kind of becomes second nature. And it's been interesting because in the online business space, I have become more aware of sort of how things work and like how people do things. And I think teaching has turned me into this. I mean, I already was a little bit of a DIY person, but teaching very much ingrained this DIY kind of thing into me. Like, well, if I, you know, can't find it, I'm going to make it, or I'm going to do it. And I don't necessarily need any help because there's not any help available. And, you know, I see in these Facebook groups and, you know, different things people are sharing, they're looking for this kind of help or that kind of help. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And I never really thought to ask for help with that or, you know, whatever. And so, yeah, learning that I don't have to do this alone is huge.
Absolutely. And that's something that I really missed about the entrepreneurial space is that, you know, like you said, as a teacher, you have to do it yourself because there's no help available. Mm-hmm. But as a small business owner, I can outsource, I can hire people. So, you know, if I need graphics designed, I could potentially hire you. If I need illustrations, if I,
right.
you know, need somebody to work on a printable journal that I'm producing, I can hire a virtual assistant to do that. One of mm-hmm. my goals is to hire somebody to edit these podcast episodes for me so I don't have to sit here and do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've got somebody who does that for me on a limited basis, but my goal is to bring her on full time to edit all of the episodes. And so, you know, that, I mean, just the thought that I can hire somebody to help me mm-hmm. has relieved so much of my anxiety and stress. I don't have to do it all.
Right.
So kind of tell me a little bit, sort of what does your day look like as an instructional designer and illustrator who works for yourself?
Let me tell you, I love my day. It is honestly, I think the best part of not necessarily working in the classroom or like a regular 9-to-5. I am obsessed with the freedom that I have. And so, yeah, a typical day starts in the morning. I do sort of this Bible study, personal development time. I make sure like that's how I start my mornings every morning, never miss. I homeschool my daughter. I have a 13-year-old. And so I homeschool her in the mornings. So like if there's anything, any lessons or anything that we need to go through, we do that right after. And then I get started on business stuff. And sometimes that looks like client work and marketing. And sometimes that looks like planning. And sometimes that looks like budgeting. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of all over the place, but I have the freedom to get up and go get a snack if I want
yes.
one.
Use the bathroom.
I have the freedom to get up and go to the bathroom. Yes. I can go outside. But it's interesting because I still find myself waiting to do those things. I'm still having to break the habit of like waiting to go to the bathroom or not going outside or whatever. And I'm like, why am I still sitting here? It will literally take me 30 seconds to go to the bathroom and come back. Like, but it's just those habits, you know, that are
yes.
really hard to break. And so, yeah, my days honestly just look like whatever I want them to look like. And it's awesome.
I know, gosh, I think it was Friday. I was starting to stress out because I wanted a podcast episode for this past Monday. And then I realized, mm-hmm. you know what? I don't have to have one. It's Christmas. It's okay if I don't
yeah.
have an episode the Monday after Christmas. The world will continue to function.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was able to give myself permission to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so freeing.
Yeah, there's so much freedom in being your own boss and just being able to do whatever you need at that specific time. Because like sometimes, you know, if my brain is just not having it that day and it needs a rest, my daughter and I will sit down and we'll watch some Netflix or whatever, you know, like we'll go outside for a walk. And so it's just nice to have the freedom to make those choices that fit whatever it is you need at the time.
Over this past week, it's kind of a bit different this week because I'm still technically it's a holiday and I feel like I should maybe rest.
Right.
But, you know, I've been able to get up a little later in the morning than I normally would have, eat something, get ready for the interview, do some, you know, meditation, reading, and then sit down and do an interview this morning. And then I was able to take a couple hours to just sit down. The cat took a nap with me in my recliner. He was literally snoring. And then I was able to come in here and get ready for this interview. And then after this, I've got some writing that I'm going to do. I have some Star Trek episodes I need to watch. And then, you know, as you know, grad school starts back up again and I start getting more of my products out there and needing to work in the customer support and working with my community, that of course will change and morph. And so it's nice in that it won't be the same thing every day. And I'm also in charge of it, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like to kind of touch on the community that you talked about. Like, that is one thing that I found that was so difficult whenever I left, because goodness, like those people are, you know, you're spending more time with them than you're spending with anybody else, even though you don't necessarily see them all day, but just, you know, you can kind of shoot the breeze and commiserate a little bit. And so I do find that like teaching, you're in a little bit of a, almost like a fraternity or something.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I found like when I left, it was like, wow, I'm no longer part of that community anymore. And that hit me really hard. And so I think it's so important to find a community of people that you can connect with and that they can speak life into you and keep you accountable and all of those things.
And that's something that I had in my entrepreneurial life before teaching, is I had an online community of work at home moms that I connected with, who helped teach me and who, you know, helped keep me accountable and what have you. And so being a teacher, that's, you know, the first thing I did was start building that teaching community, that PLC, to use the proper term. when I decided to leave teaching, the first thing I did was go back to that entrepreneurial community, because so many of them are still in this space and still teaching and still providing resources. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I want to do with the community that I'm building, is connect them with those people that have been in business for 20 years and who are in the business of teaching us how to run successful online businesses.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you would like, we would love for you to join us. We have a Facebook group.
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right, I will send you the link to that.
Sounds good.
And speaking of that, perhaps some of the services that you offer would be something that people in that space, especially as it grows, could use. So could you kind of tell us about what you do for business owners?
Yeah. So for business owners, typically if they have, well, I'm a little bit all over the place. So depending on what they're doing, if they have courses, I can audit programs. I help with sort of revamping their curriculum if they need that, help them, you know, with a whole new curriculum and course in general, and, you know, do the whole sort of package thing with all of the course materials and building out the actual course. I also love to illustrate and design swag for high level programs. And so if there's a high ticket program and the course creator wants to sort of reward their students, whether that's with, you know, like a thank you gift when they come on, or with milestone gifts, you know, I kind of illustrate and handle all of those things as well. And then on the other end, I'm also just a general graphic designer and illustrator and have experience doing all kinds of things. One of my favorite things to do is to design like interactive PDFs and workbooks and journals and things like that. And I have extensive, you know, graphic design background in like apparel design, t-shirts and things like that. And so I'm kind of all over the place in that aspect, but it's so fun and it's super rewarding. And yeah, if there's anybody that feels like they need any of those things, I'm happy to help.
One of the things that I've noticed lately is that printables are a huge thing. And so, you know, if somebody needs someone to design custom graphics for those printables, you know, t-shirts and mugs and what have you, it sounds like you would be the person.
Oh yeah, for sure. I would love to help with that. Like I said, it's kind of the gamut, whether it's, you know, things for my projects do tend to be in the educational space in some form or fashion. I think, you know, teachers just kind of tend to like know each other. You can identify who each other are, you know, but you know, there are other things that I've done as well for people in other spaces too.
I know another really big industry right now is coloring pages. And I saw that you had some on your website.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I haven't done any in a little while, but I do. I just love to draw, honestly, and coloring pages and just illustrations in general. And so one of my dreams is to have, well, I've got a lot of dreams, but one of my dreams is to see my artwork in something in a store somewhere. I don't know on what, we'll see. One of these days, we'll see it.
And maybe you could like think of a theme or something perhaps and create coloring pages and create a coloring book along that theme.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Either self-publish it on Amazon or, like you said, see about getting a traditional publisher to put that out there for you.
Yeah.
Or maybe both. Yeah. Hey.
Right. And that's what I love so much about this is that it's like, oh, like we can kind of do whatever we want. We have the power to do those things. And like I did actually publish a Bible study journal that I developed on Amazon. And so, you know, like it's just really great to have the time and the freedom to be able to make those choices and put the effort and the time into making them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And decide what's a priority for you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look at your market, who you are trying to serve, and see what they need, and then merge those two things.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how this all came about was, you know, I was serving a lot of clients that were in the educational space. And then I was serving a lot of clients that were just sort of general graphic design and illustration. And I felt like I had these two arms of business and I didn't really necessarily want two arms. I wanted to merge it and I couldn't figure out a way how to do that. And so I had to sit with it for a while. And then it was just like this epiphany that came to me. And I realized that I could serve these high-level course creators in that way that would carry them through a whole experience. And so I developed a package where I help them either develop a course or up-level their current course. So start with an audit if they already have a current one, identify the gaps, and, you know, rewrite whatever curriculum needs to be rewritten, you know, go through all of the strategy and everything, and then carry it all the way through into swag design, where I'm illustrating things for them. And those are like my super passion projects. Those are really, really fun.
With all that said, all that amazing advice you've given, what would you say is your absolute best advice for teachers wanting to transition into their own small business?
Oh, absolute best advice. You know, for me, I needed some stability before I made the leap. And so for me, savings was huge, making sure that we had savings. But then it was also trusting that it was possible for me.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get there. But because I had surrounded myself with really amazing people that were constantly reminding me of, you know, my value and that I could do this thing, then I felt like, okay, I may not believe in myself right now, but because you do, I can do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's something that I really enjoy doing is seeing what other people can do, whether they're my students or a client. Mm-hmm. And seeing what they're capable of doing, especially if they can't see it yet, and saying, yes, you can do that and you should do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast, where you learn how to be your own boss. Have questions about starting, growing, or scaling your business? You can ask us anything. Just fill out the form at www.rethinkyourlifestyle.com/askmeanything. And Michelle will answer your burning entrepreneurial questions in an upcoming episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll catch you next time.